A lot of NHL to get to today on the show. Plus, we got some international news. Canada's got a coach, maybe another NCAA Div 1 team coming along in the ranks. What's going on? It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, now open in Edmonton, Alberta on St. Albert Trail, Northwest. Cody Jansen, Adam Ehrmantraut with you here for Lord Co. Auto Parts. We got some breaking news here. I mean, this one's just before the show. Jonathan Drouin taking a leave of absence from the Montreal Canadiens. So I'll snap it over to Adam Ehrmantraut right away. I mean, you see this first and foremost. You go, hey, you hope everything's okay with him and his family. But it's a little shocking. Anytime an NHL player, star player says, hey, I got to step away, you know, it's a little bit of a shock.
Yeah. Obviously, like, everyone's been hard on him this year. He's got 3 goals in his last like 60 whatever games, and he hasn't played well. And like, I mean, you don't want to make assumptions, but clearly there's some sort of correlation between that, his performance, and the leave of absence. So, you know, you just hope everything's well. I hate the people online who are like there's probably Lightning fans out there like, oh, we won the Sergachev trade. Like, definitely not the time for that, but yeah, all the best to him, and I mean, whatever he's going through.
Yeah, we used to get into it with Lightning fans every other week. Do. Your mic's a mess right there. You're just all over the map. It's also NFL draft eve. I mean, we're pretty confident Trevor Lawrence is going number one.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who's going number 3 because Lawrence and Zach Wilson.
Fields. Like, it's going to be Fields.
I don't think it'll be. It's like 1.01 on both picks, and it's like who's gonna, like, you put down $1,000 to win 10.
Yeah. I mean, Lawrence, I have not a big Zach Wilson fan.
I don't think anybody is.
I mean, you're exposed by Coastal Carolina. That should say enough.
Yeah.
That's enough NHL talk or NFL talk there. We should get into some NHL talk. Actually, never mind. Screw it. What's been going on in Stoon? I mean, we got snow up here, hoping to swing the clubs this weekend. But if it's going to be cold, I am not going to be happy.
Yeah, I finished up 6 finals in the last kind of 10 days. So all done and fresh now. So I've got 5 rounds in. Me and Dahlgren got paired with a guy named Bruce yesterday who was wearing jeans that had a hole in his back pocket. He was wearing running, like those Skechers running shoes, smoked 30 darts. He actually was a pretty good golfer though. Like, he can't stop talking about his course kind of down by Estevan, but he's a pretty good golfer. And it's funny cause Dahlgren's a diabetic. So he, like, very COVID sensitive, all that. So this guy, when he talked to you, like, they would start at the front of the tee box, like, he'd, like, have a conversation, and they'd end up, like, onto the pavement because this guy would just keep getting closer and closer. And I was kind of, like, killing myself laughing, but good guy. He gave me some tips on the last hole, so it's nice of him.
At least he gave you some tips. That's all worth it then.
Yeah, awesome.
No, it's always weird when you kind of get paired up with people you don't know, especially during this time. Like, I mean, you try to be COVID sensitive, but you're also like, I got no clue who these people are or what they're doing.
Yeah. I hate the cart people, man. Like, there's so many at my course, you can't take the carts on the fairways. So it's 100% slower to drive the carts than it is to walk. Just because, like, there's guys out there, and this guy was doing it a bit yesterday where he'd pull his cart up to his ball, go to his ball, zap the pin, go back to his bag, get his clubs, come out with 3 clubs, swing. And I was just like, okay, like, yeah. Like, if you're, and that's my thing. Like, I'm okay with range finders. Like, it can help like 10 or 15 yards, but if you're not pretty sure about what club you should hit, like, and you can't eye it down, then you're probably not the best golfer.
No, I'm such a stickler too. Like, I'm not a speed golfer, but if it's taking us 2 hours plus to play 9, I'm like, okay, let's get it going here. I mean, yeah, 10 minutes a hole is fine for me.
My dad could kill somebody if they brought out a range finder with them. He was a pretty good golfer in his day, and he was golfing with a client or something, and this guy, like, pulls out a range finder the first hole, and my dad goes, okay, I'll stay beside you the entire round. I'll hit every ball to where you're hitting then, just so we have the same advantage. So there's that. But I mean, Whatever. Hockey talk, though.
We might as well get into it. NHL, they got a new TV deal. Basically, TNT, TBS, right? TBS is the other one.
Turner or something, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the same people that own CBS. So it was kind of weird why CBS wasn't included in that. I feel like as a national network, they might. But maybe ESPN, that whole deal has something to do with it, where ESPN's another.
ABC, yeah.
Yeah, it's all that jumbled mess. Whatever, the show is bringing in $600 million in a TV deal. I don't want to see another flat cap for 5 years. I hope they put this money to good use, plus the money they're getting from Seattle. All in all, I think it's a pretty interesting thing. I'm not a big NBA guy, so I can't go exactly off of TNT. A lot of people call it the gold standard of pregame, postgame, intermission stuff. End of the day, they botched a promotion already, you know, chucking Andrew Ference up there instead of Connor McDavid on their graphic. What a start for them. I'll get your thoughts on the deal. And also, I mean, choose me a three-person panel. If you got to choose three guys who you know that they're going to chuck a little bit of bag at, who are you having as your intermission people? Yeah, your mic's muted, idiot.
Shit. Yeah, no, it's so tough, like, just because the TNT one, it's like, they've developed such a name, and I don't think there's anybody in hockey like Shaq. Like, you could go to, like, one of the Chicklets guys, I guess, but, I mean, I'm very into the Ray Ferraro. Just get him on there. He's hilarious, but I just don't think you can try to copy that, because then, like, who are you going to get? Jeremy Roenick? Well, he's kind of out, so you just can't copy what they do in Barkley and Shaq and their battles back in the day, but this is huge for hockey, man. Like, you get all those heroes online. Anytime somebody would post a hockey thing, like, this isn't a sport, like, stupid, you know, kind of things like that. But it's huge for hockey. And I know Friedman was saying that NHL guys wanted it to be on ESPN, and now it's on Bleacher Report too. And those guys would never really post highlights, but now it's their product. So they'll be pushing the hell out of it. And it should really develop a lot more fanfare.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of Andrew Ference fans out there. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like people that TNT could, should, might chuck the bag at. You mentioned Ferraro. You mentioned JR. I think Sean Avery's got to be up there as a, you know, controversial person, love him or hate him. I mean, he's definitely going to bring eyes. I mean, I'm a big Kevin Weeks fan. I think that Kevin Weeks is good for the game. Give him an open platform. Let him spew off. Man, it's nothing against Patrick Sharp. I mean, I think any guy or girl would tell you he's hot as shit. He looks great on TV. But, I mean, his hockey takes are vanilla. You know, that's where NBC lost us. You know, their intermission sucked. It was so boring. And it's even where, you know, Hockey Night in Canada and CBC, when they don't have, Ryan I'm not going to say, yeah, well, not exactly that, because I do like when some of the former players speak. But again, I feel like they're not given the creative freedom. It's, hey, I'm going to chuck it to you for one question and that's it. Like, yeah. It's just like, okay, Bieksa, what do you think on this? Like, yeah. It's not our producer James chimes in too, said Sean Avery. I agree with that one. I think there's room for Avery in this discussion here. But again, I mean, shout out to our guests on the show too, as we're just ripping intermission reports. Kelly Rudy, former NHLer, also author, great book. I got it beside me here too. I don't know if anyone has read this, Calling the Shots. I got it a while ago. Great book. Highly recommend that. We'll get on, talk some Flames, talk some of his career, talk playing with Patty Marleau and Alexis Downey from Stadium. Going to come on, talk women's hockey, NHL with us later on.
Brett Hull. What about that name?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A guy like Hully. Yeah.
I think you need,
now we're cooking.
I think you need somebody to kind of not rival the TNT one, 'cause those guys are like Hall of Famers, but you need more of like a voice and more of a guy who's got the 600.
You need guys who will be just straight up honest.
Guys who don't, like, this is bad to say, but guys who don't care if they get fired, honestly. Like, exactly. Like, that's the best part. And, I mean, that's why Burke was great. And, I mean, that, like, you would tune into his to-the-point segment because he'd always have something to say. Like, Mike Fiuta, if you ever catch him in the intermissions, he does a really good job. But, yeah, I think you definitely need somebody who's been there, done that, like the Pierre Maguire, like Patrick Sharp, like good guys, and like you don't hate listening to them. It's just nothing that you're like, oh, I got to sit down for this.
100%. 100%. That's, and when it comes to an intermission, even when they're snapping it around, the people I'm listening to, your Kevin BXs, your Kelly Rudys, your Anthony Stewarts. I enjoy, you know, Carolyn Cameron, Jennifer Botterill, you know, Sarah Nurse. I enjoy listening to them. But at the end of the day, if it's a vanilla answer because they're not allowed to really speak their mind, I'm checked out. I'm sorry. That's the honest truth.
I also wonder who ESPN's going to chuck the bag at, because they said they wanted an insider, like kind of somebody like Adrian Wojnarowski or any of those, like Schefter. So
that's an interesting one.
That'd be interesting to see, because I think you and I would both agree now that Bob McKenzie's retired, Elliott's definitely the biggest insider in the game, I think. Like him, Dragger, LeBron, but probably Elliott. And I wonder if there's a number that could get him to ESPN.
I was thinking Dragger or Johnston.
Yeah.
That would be my guess, my assumption. I think you could probably pull them out for a little bit of a fairer price than Freach.
Because Elliot's blog is so successful too. It's like, oh, do you go to put his 31 thoughts on your ESPN Plus or whatever and give it a subscriber thing? But yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm happy about it. I don't think, not that NBC was bad, but they're clearly like the third or fourth. And some people really hate NBC because they're more so like the Olympics political channel. And then, I mean, with Fox or Bally Sports or whatever, they're just like a local flavor. But no, this is all national, and it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully some of those NBC kind of play-by-play guys get their roles. I think Brendan Burke does a great job. Like, as we said, a bunch of those guys. So
NBC just had bigger fish to fry, in my opinion, than NHL. It wasn't that big of a moneymaker for them. Hey, we are diving into NHL news for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, family-owned Canadian company, changing the hockey stick game. Pro Rock offers top-of-the-line twigs at a fraction of the cost, not even close. Been using them for a while now. Never go back to one of the big companies. Pro Rock, lighter, more balanced, and at the best price point when it comes to top-of-the-line sticks. Check them out today, prorock.com. Also, shout out Sick Hat, Sick Hoodies, Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. NHL news. We got a ton of stuff to get here. I'm liking the piss and vinegar Joe Thornton's playing with. What's your thoughts on his performance here over the past couple of weeks? Actually coming back from injury, really.
Yeah, honestly, like I was very close to tweeting like, okay, like the story's over, like good guy Joe Thornton.
You just love to jump on guys. That's thing. You just here to rip them.
Like this is what everybody's kind of saying. They're like, okay, like it's gotten to a point where as good of a guy and like as much as the guys love him, like he literally wasn't really providing anything offensively. I think he hardly had any points in 20 some games. But now, I mean, you saw that, and it's what a hilarious line. Him, Spezza, and Adam Brooks too, like the old Regina Pat guy who's lit up everywhere he's played. So he thinks on the level of them. And I mean, I think that's when this, and even younger Joe Thornton, I think that's when he was at his best, when he's fighting guys, when he's kind of chirping guys and not stand on the half wall sauce pass Joe Thornton. And I know you can't, as we say all the time, you can't play like that at every time where you're running around. But I mean, a little more energy and ambition to his game, I don't think it hurt. And how about the Jason Spezza gesture to tell all the guys like, hey, like we should be paying the Marlies. And that's incredible, because that guy's literally playing for nothing. Like he's playing for 750 grand, which he probably has underneath his couch. But
did they say how much they're chucking out? I saw that. That's a cool one. I did have that in the notes.
No, they didn't say, but I mean, that's great of Jason Spezza. And like we know guys in the AHL, and there's an athletic story talking about Ontario. So if you're a guy making the minimum 30,000 in California, half that's going to rent. So you're making 15, half that's going to taxes. You're paying $8,000 in rent. Like you're going to pocket $2,000 this year or whatever. So it's like, it really helps. And I mean, I don't know if they wanted that to get out, but I think the fact it gets out, maybe other teams are like, hey, we could do something.
How much do you think they're chucking though? Like, you know, like $5,000, $10,000 a piece chucking in there.
Yeah. I feel like it'd be like $10,000 a piece probably. Yeah. You're not going to get a guy like Adam Brooks or whatever.
But that's, I'm sure like guys like Jumbo and that.
The big guy. Yeah.
Also, shout out to the American League, Freddie Brathwaite. I mean, he better be coming on the show here eventually. I mean, 48 years old, backing up. I love seeing that. Also, can we quickly, the American League, how about that Logan Thompson? The Brandon Wheat Kings, Tendi? Holy, like, dude, this is a guy who didn't really have any pro offers coming out of juniors, like went U Coast Sports for a year, went to the Coast for a couple of years. Now he's in the American League and he's got like a 941. He's literally like, it's like 25 save percentage points, whatever you want to call it, like better than the next. And he's played a ton of games. Like this isn't just a drop in the bucket. This is like, holy, this guy can play.
I love seeing that too, because it shows you how good U Sports is. Like it never really gets, you get the odd.
I knew that spin zone was coming. I should have known.
No, of course. Well, you got the odd like Luke Phillip or whatever, Derek Ryan, but it's usually only one or two a year. But now it's like, I mean, now that a goalie's done it, I think in my experience, a lot of the goalies are undersized and stuff. But I mean, good for him.
Yeah, pretty impressive there. Also, Andrew Shaw calls it a career. What's your favorite Schauzer moment?
He told the story on Chicklets when he blew up, when he said he basically hated Greg Pattern and he's like, I'm for the boys and he isn't. And he blew him up and I think he ended up blowing out his knee or something. He absolutely blew him up, blew out his knee. And he said that was like the best hit of his career or something. But I don't know. I don't know if there's a moment, just his entire career. You just
remember
know
when he had that headbutter goal.
Yeah.
Just what an idea to be like, I'm just going to headbutt this thing in.
Yeah.
I thought that was just a grinder guy. Do anything the team needs. Always there. Yeah. Guy you win with. That's the perfect way to describe him. Moving along. The Canucks. Mm-hmm. Who in hockey ops needs to be fired when you're like, you've got players in your organization. And it's not just like, oh, we messed up a name bar. It's like we messed up a name bar. We messed up the game, like the game graphics. We messed up everything for that Artur Silov's goalie. I don't know how you pronounce his last name, but it's Silov's. It's not Silvov's. Like, is it pathetic? It's pathetic. It's embarrassing. It's stupid. And I get it. People might want to be like, oh, it's a joke. Like, lighten up. It's like, come on. It's this kid's first NHL game, and you can't have the dignity to get his name right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, figure it out.
No, and then, I mean, the Canucks, like, Buffalo, I tweeted this out. Buffalo's been doing a great job where Don Granato's like, yeah, we're going to healthy scratch Colin Miller and play the kids, because if the veterans were playing well and we were a good team, then we'd play them, but they're not, so we'll play the kids. And, I mean, there's a certain friend of the show who's been sitting in the press box the last couple of Canucks games watching them lose twice to Ottawa, and I don't know. I think that you could probably play them over 27-year-old guys who are fringe players at this point, but we'll see what happens this afternoon.
I love all the questions. They're like, oh, is he ready for his NHL debut? You know, he's been up here, he's been unreal in the American League, but is he ready for the NHL? It's like,
who the hell knows?
Like, how long are we going to keep asking this? Maybe just put him on a game. It's not rocket science here. You don't have to be a chemist to figure out. Maybe we just get him in an actual game instead of just, you know, seeing him in warm-ups and pregame skates.
And Jimmy Vesey's on his fifth team in like what, 3 years, and he's got claimed on waivers to healthy scratch. And I honestly, like, no offense to him, I don't think he'll be in the league next year, but I saw a great tweet. It was like, does Jimmy Vesey, Jace Harluck, and Matthew Highmore really give this team a better chance to win the Coleman? Like, is he gonna hurt the team more than they pretty much were? So we'll see. I think he'll get in maybe today or the next game, but soon.
Interesting. We'll see. Okay, we got to get you off to a commercial break here. Kelly Rudy coming up next. But first off, World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Household name across Western Canada since 1974. Lordco, proudly Canadian owned and operated. Now finally in Edmonton, carrying much more than just car parts. Newest store on St. Albert Trail Northwest. Huge selection of aftermarket auto parts and accessories, and a dedicated truck center. Whether you're looking for high performance parts, shop equipment, paint, body supplies, outdoor gear, whatever you need to get your RV on the road or boat on the water, Lordco's got you covered. 7 days a week, visit them today for an exceptional customer experience, or learn more about their products and services at lordco.com. All right, Cody Jans and Adam Ermentrout with you. Follow us on Twitter at World Hockey RPT. Jump in the conversation anytime, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Kelly Rudy, former NHLer, after the break. You know we like our goaltenders, and you know we like our bad boys of the game. So we got a former NHL to talk about it next year. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts, one-stop shop for quality RV, car, truck, or marine parts and accessories. Kelly Rudy, brought to you by our friends at Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. The weather's nicer out there. It's pretty much golf season. I mean, come on. You got to get something to sip on while you're swinging the sticks, lighting up the barbecue, or even watching some NHL playoffs. Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. That should be your go-to. High-quality ingredients, no fillers, no beer bloat, no cheap liquor. Coco Vodka Rum. Won't be disappointed. Kelly Rudy, former NHLer, Hockey Night in Canada host. I mean, one of the greatest styles. I'm a fan of the old combo helmets. Also, he's got a great book up. I pumped this thing earlier, calling the shots, got it right in front of me. Great book. Kelly Rudy, thanks for joining the show. How's it going?
Going really well, Cody and Adam. I got to tell you, when I go golfing, it's not a rum drink, no offense to your sponsor, but I have to have typically a Caesar, and you know what I call it? Aiming juice. So it helps me get the ball right down the middle of the fairway, at least on the first one, and then usually I'm deep into the woods after that. But yeah, hopefully golf is around the corner.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. I'm a spicy Caesar guy too, but the canned ones, I know it's the worst thing in the world. So much salt, but those red spicy cans, those work well for a golf course. Kelly,
they certainly do.
We wanted to bring you on. We're Sasky guys. Our Sasky guys are setting records in the NHL left, right, and center. Patrick Marleau, you played with him his rookie season in San Jose. I mean, first off, what was your thoughts seeing him set the record, passing Gordie Howe? But, like, when you saw him as a rookie, was this someone who you're like, he's going to do something special in the league? Or what was he like?
Yeah, he certainly was. By the way, just to endear myself to your listeners or your viewers, that I married a girl from Saskatchewan. So she's originally from Cornac, down south in the province. So she ended up moving to Medicine Hat, and that's where we met. But yeah, Patty was a special player. There's no question about it. When we first saw him, I think two things really stood out to all of us: his skating ability, just effortless, and his release and his wrist shot. Incredible skills, and he's got a whole bunch of other qualities, but I don't know if we ever knew that he was going to break Gordy's record most games played, because that seemed out of reach for everybody. But nonetheless, tremendous career and just a wonderful person to be around.
Awesome guy too, from Aneroid, Saskatchewan. I mean, anyone from Southwest Saskatchewan knows they're just the toughest hockey players around. Hey, I got one more. I mean, I got to ask about some of those characters in LA. What a team you had when you look back on it, the cup run, the rosters, the guys you got to play with. I mean, you got to have a funny story or something about some of those guys in the room, and also just that cup run, what it was like for you as a former NHLer.
Well, you're right. We had some incredible players. But one guy that really stood out to me for his sense of humor, two guys. Barry Beck might have been one of the funniest guys I ever have been around, but he only lasted less than a year for us. But Warren Reichel, when he came into our dressing room, and that was an intimidating room with all the incredible players that we had, and he fit right in. I mean, he was a guy that gave it to us. He chirped us all the time. I love one of the stories. He was rooming with Paul Coffey early on that first year for Warren, and he got his first NHL check. And I don't know what he would have been making, but still, it was pretty good money back then. And Paul Coffey said, "Can I take a look at it?" And Warren opens up the envelope and shows it to him. And Paul says, "What do you got, a paper route?" So it was funny because Warren was so proud of that first NHL check. And here, Paul Coffey had to put him in his in line. There is awesome.
Kelly, I'm going to keep it a little current with you. So I got a bet. $100 bet that the Islanders will not make it to the conference finals. Your former teammate Rich Pilon thinks they do. I personally think that they kind of have a middling roster that gets you a round or two, but nothing more. Just, is that a good bet for me to be making?
Oh boy. Well, Richie, I love Richie. He and I played together on the Islanders. You know, I think they do have the roster, and simply because of the style of play. Now, goal scoring certainly has been an issue the last little bit, and they're having a real problem putting the puck in the net. But I like the roster. I like the goaltending. I like the coach. So I'm going to say that they could, in fact, get to the conference finals.
Fair enough. Rich told me you helped him with his style. I think he's forgot about that currently, but he said you helped him with his style. Is there a story to this?
I don't know about that. I think, more than anything, I remember Rich came in, and man, he was a hard-nosed player, happy-go-lucky guy, but he was really, he was tough to play against. I know other teams hated when they had to go against him. I think the one thing, if there might have been anything that I would have helped him, it would have been don't chase the play. You know, hitting's one good thing, but, you know, you don't hit just to hit and take yourself out of position. And the other thing, contrary to how the game is played today, I probably would have told him to get out of the way so I can see the puck. And as you know, that contrasts what today's game is, where everybody's asked to block every shot, it seems.
Yeah, well, hopefully we see a Sun Garrett soon in Washington there. But I want to ask you, you're Flames color guy. Where do they go from here? Because I don't think they'll make the playoffs. They got absolutely smoked by Colorado a couple of years ago, and that series was telling. But then they need to change their core. But they signed the goaltender. They signed Tanev, who's been great. But where do you see them going from here?
Well, if indeed they don't make the playoffs, they're going to have to make some changes. There's no question about it. The team is underperformed. That's an understatement. I expected them to be a playoff team this year. There's no question about it. When I looked at their roster before the start of the season, and even they got off to a pretty good start, I really expected them to be in the top four. And to be in this position is extremely disappointing. I think the players would tell you that as well, that they're maybe even shocked they're in this situation. But nonetheless, with that roster, if you don't make the playoffs, something's got to give.
Kelly, I got to ask about a goaltender who's kind of having a little bit of a resurgence up here by Edmonton. And I mean, hey, I get to work at 630 Ched, so maybe there's some bias. But I mean, how good has Mike Smith been this year? He's really come out of nowhere to be an elite goaltender in the North, maybe even the best goaltender in the North Division this year.
Surprisingly, right? So I said 10 days ago on Hockey Night, and I think there might have been a few chuckles over it. I mean, I think everybody recognized Hellebuck is a great goaltender, won the Vezina, and you put him in that category with Vasilevsky and a few other guys. But I said, fair enough, but you know what? You have to consider Mike Smith for the Vezina this year. That's how good he's been. I think it kind of shocking considering he had no team to play for at the beginning, and he signed on late, but man alive, and you know, just two nights ago he might have been the star of the game, even though McDavid had 4 points. If not for Mike Smith's play early in the game, it could have been a different story.
Do you get a weird vibe from Winnipeg right now? Because it just seems like something's always in the news there, like the Line A trade, then Blake Wheeler and Paul Maurice is just saving him, and then Scheifele gets benched and Hellebuck gets pissed after he gets pulled. There's a weird vibe in Winnipeg right now.
And I'm okay with that. I think, you know, to have players a little bit uncomfortable at certain points during the regular season is okay to me. I think that sometimes it creates a little bit of tension, and I'm not against tension. I think Al Arbor is one of the best at making sure that players never got complacent, and you are always accountable for your own play. And so maybe it's going to annoy some of their players, but at some point, I don't find that to be bad. You don't want tons of tension going into the playoffs, but at some point leading up to it, I think it might be something that they might have needed.
Even in enough NHL dressing rooms, Kelly, what type of impact have you seen from an outside perspective in Toronto when they add Thornton, when they add Simmons, when they add Foligno? Because to me, although, yeah, they've had a little bit of a rough past couple of weeks, month, I think that's a totally different beast than Toronto's had in the playoffs the past few years.
Oh, 100%. I've been on record for saying for a while that I didn't like their team. You know, certainly talented, but I didn't like their team, and they lost so easily in the playoffs, and all you had to do is play harder and you could take away their will and spirit. I don't see that this year, and because of the players that you mentioned that they've added to their roster, guys that are in a bad mood if things aren't going well. And that's sort of maybe the misconception about Joe Thornton, that happy-go-lucky guy. And yeah, you know, we do see that in television most often, but in the dressing room he can be really hard on teammates, and he pushes guys, and I just love the way that he's played in the last little bit.
Yeah, and they got called dirty last week, and I think they'd much rather that than being called soft. We'll go down south a bit. Who are you kind of liking down there? There's questions with every team: Colorado, goaltending, Vegas, center depth. Just where are you at with those teams and kind of the cup favorites there?
Yeah, I have to admit, because we're only covering the Scotia North Division that I haven't really watched a ton of games. In fact, this would be the fewest amount of games that I've watched, in particular because with my role with the Flames as a color analyst, I'm covering every single team every year, so I have a real good feel. But I'm going to have to say that I really like Washington. I like both those teams, Colorado and Vegas. Vegas might be my favorite of the two. I like Carolina a lot. I'm curious to see Florida. They've had a great season, but I'm curious to see if they can keep that up in the playoffs. You always have to keep in mind, it's not always the front runners. It's somebody that maybe is struggling to get into that playoff spot. And because of those struggles, they're tested. They're okay with the pressure. So I don't think I've answered your question properly, but I'm just sort of uncertain.
No, it's all good. They might as well be playing on a different planet, honestly, because it's really hard.
Seriously.
It's really hard to keep up. I can ask about Montreal though. They're kind of in a weird spot once again too. I mean, you saw them a couple times against Calgary. They finally get the win, and all the best to Jonathan Drouin. But once again with them, they have a couple really good lines, but nothing really stands out about them.
Yeah, but you know, there are games in which they play that you absolutely love them. Like, you know, they had those two really, really good games versus the Oilers last week. That was playoff hockey. So, and then they had the two games versus Calgary, and that was just total shutdown. Like on Monday night, they didn't allow the Flames a shot on goal in the last almost 8 minutes. So when they play like that, they are a dangerous team. I love the addition of Josh Anderson. Toffoli's been incredible. And I do like their team. I'm not going to tell you that I can see them going all the way because I'm unsure because of their lack of scoring, especially with Brendan Gallagher out and now with Drouin taking a leave of absence. But there are a lot of reasons why I like that team.
Kelly, I got to ask about one more teammate. And I mean, I'd be reminiscent if I didn't, because growing up as a goaltender, I loved watching videos of Billy Smith. What was he like as a teammate? Because I've heard stories that this guy was intense.
He was intense. He was a great mentor for me. One of the things that Billy taught me more than anything is about you have to fight for your job and nothing's given. So once I started to get a little bit more ice time, he would go barging into the coach's room and demand more ice time. And at first I was offended until I realized what he was doing. He was making me earn my ice time. And so I learned in short order when I saw Billy marching towards the coach's room that I would follow him in right behind him. And I'd say, something like, you know, it'd be more colorful language, but enough of that. I deserve it. And so we had a real healthy competition. We remain great friends and still text him from time to time. So he was one of the best guys for me to learn from, because when I went to Los Angeles and now I had everybody gunning for my job, I would do the same thing. I never let anybody get my job unless it was deserving. And it was a great lesson for not only for me, for all young players out there.
Kelly, what would it take for you to show up to Hockey Night Canada one Saturday with the mullet and blue headband?
I don't think that's going to happen. We did that a little bit a few years ago when I was honored by the LA Kings. Man, that's hard to imagine. That's 2013, and they did an in-house promo where everybody in attendance got the blue bandana, but I think that's the last appearance that'll ever make.
Kelly, we appreciate you taking the time, but I got one last one about the More Good Days clothing. You've been very open and honest about, you know, your battles, your mental health advocacy, which is so huge. Walk us through More Good Days clothing, how this came about, how you're supporting it, and where people can go find it.
Yeah, Cody and Adam, thank you very much. It's moregooddaysclothing.com, and it's a company started by my daughter, Caitlin, and her husband, Hayden. They both have their issues. And the slogan More Good Days came from Caitlin. She was diagnosed when she was 12. She's 28 now. When she was 12, with anxiety and OCD. And so after years of getting help, I think 4 years, she came to us one day and she said, you know, I'm starting to have more good days than bad. And that was such a profound statement. And so we're happy to say she's doing really well. And they just started this clothing company a few months ago, and it's really taken off. And I appreciate you guys asking me about it. In fact, I'm doing right now, I'm running some errands in Calgary, and I'm wearing one of the hoodies, and I'm so proud to say that it's their company. And I've had so many people, and I've lost count literally how many people on Twitter and Instagram have reached out to me and to them and have thanked them for their work and talking about mental health. And I'm not ashamed to say that I've gone through some things in the last couple of years, and I'm getting the help that I need. In fact, I went 10 straight weeks during the hockey season. I've taken 3 weeks off, and I know I need to go back again on Friday and talk to my person and just get a little refresher.
No, that's awesome. And I'm so glad you're doing well. We had Connor Ingram on last week, and he's been pretty open about it. And, you know, he's a good buddy of mine. So I know guys like you and guys like Robin Leonard sharing their stories is so, so important. And we'll keep promoting your stuff. Really, really important, especially during COVID. So thank you so much for joining us, Kelly. We'll have to do it again.
That's so nice. That's heartwarming. Thank you, Cody and Adam. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Kelly. Take care.
Take care, guys.
Right there, Kelly Reed. Wow. That's
that might be on our pedestal of interviews, man. Like
what a good guy. Yeah. And honestly, I mean, I know I pump up the book as you know, one of the better ones I've read, but man, I mean, everything that I've heard, everything we talked to, you know, and go check out, guys, please go check out support moregooddaysclothing.com. It's all for a good cause. Kelly's, you know, one of the good guys in the game. Great stories too. Great insight. I love how he sees the game. I mean, it takes a very fair approach to all those North Division teams that you asked him about. So that's huge. Huge thanks to Coco Vodka, Coco Rum for sponsoring that interview of Kelly Rudy, former NHLer. Off to a break here on 12 Ounce Sports. Cody Jansen, Adam Erman, Trent with you, Alexis Downey from Stadium. Coming up next to talk some more hockey right here on Wolf Hockey Report. So much hockey news. So much hockey going on right now. International hockey, wrapped up college hockey, NHL coming down the stretch here for playoffs. So we dive into it a little bit more on World Hockey Report. Presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Learn more at LordCo.com and follow them on social media at Lord Co. Parts. Welcome on. Alexis Downey, sports journalist, also host of Icebreakers on Stadium, off the record podcast with the friend of the show, Kirsten Kroll. Alexis, how's it going?
It's going good. You know, I've been having a pretty good day so far. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, doing good. Snow's melting, so we're looking like it's closer to golf season up here in Canada. Hey, we wanted to have you on. I know you do a ton of stuff, so I'm going to ask a couple of Chicago Steel questions later on. But also, I mean, some of the big news from the past week, Women's Worlds being canceled. And I know this is second year in a row. There was a lot of vocal, you know, players speaking up. When you saw the news, you know, being someone who covers hockey for a living now, you know, what was your thoughts? It's obviously a disappointing time, and it's kind of a disappointing way at how they handled it, in my opinion.
Yeah, you kind of hit it head on with that. I was very disappointed to see the IIHF and, you know, Canada's decision to cancel the world. And especially because, you know, it's so close. Like, it's really, it was supposed to start May 6th. I know Team USA here was getting set to get on a bus and head there soon. So it was really just a shock for a lot of people. And I was really disappointed in the way that they just kind of came out and said, we're canceling it. We don't really have a plan yet, but we're hoping to have a plan for the rest of the year and hopefully get it played. But I don't think that it was, you know, the right way to go about it.
You know, talking about the Women's Worlds being canceled, you see events like the under-18s going on right now in Texas. You know, from your perspective, I mean, how unfair is this for the women's game? You know, they're canceling events on them while they're finding ways for the men's game. And I get it. There's probably a little bit of a money disparage in there. But IIHF, you know, when you look at supporting women's hockey, growing leagues like the NWHL, the PWHPA, this is really hurting the product. It's not getting it out there. So how do you see women's hockey growing and moving on after this where, you know, you're not getting the best on best competition?
Well, unfortunately, you know, I thought there was a pretty good momentum going this year so far with, you know, the Dream Gap Tour that was taking place across some of the arenas here in the U.S. And women's hockey was getting talked about more, but now with this cancellation, and a lot of the players took to social media and spoke about how angry they were and how basically they were robbed of their dreams getting to play again. It's been 2 years since we've seen a tournament, obviously last year being canceled because of COVID-19, but it's so unfair for all of these talented female hockey players that have been working so hard to get ready for these the world championship, and then just to have it taken away. I think it really hurts the momentum of the sport too, because there was, like I said, a lot of momentum behind it, and they were getting some national airtime on some of the on NBC here, and just to see that kind of taken away and basically put a halt to it is really going to hurt the sport, I think, unfortunately, because they are going to have to, you know, pick up the momentum once again, hopefully when they are able to play. But I don't think it's a good thing. And I really hope that the IIHF can figure it out and get these women on the ice sometime this year.
Yeah. Hopefully there's something that happens. I mean, Texas, Edmonton, whatever, just make it happen, Renee. But, what's Calder Trophy? I mean, there's so much buzz every year about, there's always like a 22 or 23 year old guy who comes in and seemed like Kaprizov was a runaway, but now Jason Robertson's got a lot of buzz. There's an Alex Nedeljkovic thing here. Just where are you at with that and your winner?
You know, that's a good question, because my good friend Kirsten Kroll, who works with the Wild, obviously always trying to root for Kirill and trying to pull me in that direction. So I think Kaprizov, you know, I think he obviously is the favorite. I think he's got the best chance to win it. And I'm kind of on his side too, knowing that the Wild already have clinched their playoff spot. They've been playing so well in this second half of the season and getting, you know, that postseason opportunity to keep showing what Kaprizov can do on the ice is really going to help him in the Calder conversation. But obviously everything's always up for grabs. And I know some people are kind of upset that he could potentially win it, because they say, you know, maybe he's not a per se rookie because he has played in the KHL, but when you look at it, obviously he is a rookie in the NHL. So I guess I would say I'm probably on the Kaprizov train. I think Jason Robertson, the big name that's really kind of started to come out behind Kaprizov, is someone to watch, but knowing that Dallas might not make the postseason doesn't necessarily help his case.
Now, Adam's a big junior hockey guy up here, mostly WHL, but I mean, for the U show, I enjoyed my time in Buccaneer Arena. It was a fun place to be. But I mean, you with the Chicago Steel, can we talk about Sean, is it Farrell for a second? Because this kid's got 101 points in 53 games. He's going to Harvard. Like, is he one of the best, is he put on one of the best USHL seasons of all time or what? It's incredible.
Yeah, Sean Farrell has been so fun to watch. And, you know, he's an undersized guy. So the Chicago Steel mentality is they take these undersized guys and they just make them into incredible hockey players. And he is the epitome of that. Yeah, he's heading to Harvard next year. And he's been in the USHL, at least with the Steel, for two seasons. And prior to that, he was with the USA Hockey's National Team Development Program. So he's been, you know, making his rounds, and I would definitely say a name that will not be forgotten in the USHL. I'm excited to see what he does at the next level at Harvard. He also was a NHL draft pick last year in the fourth round by the Montreal Canadiens. So already having, you know, an NHL team on the radar for him. He's a really, really skilled hockey player and is just always finding, you know, the space on the ice, looking for whether it's helping in on an assist or finding goals of his own. He's got an incredible amount of assists this year. So very, very exciting guy to watch here with the Chicago Steel.
I think it's illegal for Montreal to draft guys over 6 feet tall. But speaking of Chicago, we'll talk about the Blackhawks. They had a nice little run kind of halfway through the season, but I think reality kind of kicked in with them. Are they, I honestly don't know if they're, are they rebuilding? Are they trying to be good? Like what's your vibe with them?
So coming into the season, there was a lot of front office changes. They got a new team president. Obviously, head coach stayed the same, but the ownership has really changed around a lot of what they want the mentality to be around the Blackhawks. And I think at first you kind of saw that a little bit on the ice, but they have the talent, I would say, that they could have made that fourth spot in the Central Division, but they just really fell off. And I think that, like, their consistency just is not there. They have a really good young netminder in Kevin Lankinen, another guy that was also thrown around in the Calder trophy race. But I think just Chicago is unfortunately kind of on a rebuild. They've had a lot of their bigger names. Actually, you know, Andrew Shaw retired this week, announced his retirement. So Brent Seabrook, another guy that announced his retirement. So we're kind of just seeing a shift in the era, the Stanley Cup era that was here in Chicago a few years ago to now basically a young and brand new team.
Where's Taves at?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, where's Jonathan Taves at? Because he just missed the season, and they said he won't be there this year. So next year, will he be back?
So from my understanding, it's been some health problems for him. And I think he is hoping to get back on the ice from what I've last heard. But they've pretty much kept that under wraps, and not a lot of people know what has been going on. It's kind of a scary situation, honestly, for him.
Yeah, definitely interesting. I mean, when health concerns come into play, you see what has happened with Henrik Lundqvist, guys like that. Obviously, health comes first, especially when you're a guy like Taves, who's pretty much won it all in hockey in general. Alexis, I appreciate you coming on the show. I got to, you know, we'll close out with this one. Who you got winning the cup this year?
Great question. You know what? I really would like to honestly see Vegas win it, because I think that their story is pretty cool, being, you know, the expansion team, being so good, being so close in the past couple years. But I also am a huge fan of Marc-Andre Fleury, and he's been having a phenomenal season. So I'm probably pulling for Vegas, but I guess we'll see what happens.
Flowers definitely got the best style in the game, no doubt. Alexis, thank you so much for hopping on World Hockey Report this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Right there, Alexis Downey, host of Icebreakers on Stadium Chicago also, Steel at USHL.
How big of a joke is it that Vegas is just exempt from the Seattle expansion draft?
Like, I saw that. I didn't know that. That's insane.
Yeah. Like, they weren't helped out enough already with all the GMs and namely Minnesota and Florida. And now it's just, yeah, your team made it to the cup final. Like, you get any player you basically want. And oh yeah, by the way, you don't have to be, and like the expansion draft, it's not like you're going to lose studs, but like you're going to lose a player you don't want to lose.
100%. No, that's wild. Okay, let's quickly rip through some international hockey news. I'll get your thoughts in Spark Notes. That's what I'm thinking of, in Spark Notes form. Canada under-18s, they beat Sweden 12-1. Sweden just sucks at hockey. We'll just throw that out there. But that Shane Wright kid's nasty.
Yeah, he had better numbers than McDavid at 15. I know McDavid's team absolutely stunk, but like that's pretty incredible if you're even close to that, and he had better ones. So definitely a different player than McDavid, but yeah, obviously it'll be an incredible draft with him and Brad Lambert.
Everyone that talks about Wright brings up his leadership qualities, which is wild for a kid of that age. Like, yeah. Even with McDavid,
he was an assistant captain.
I thought he was a captain. Yeah,
no, well, he was an assistant in Kingston at 50, like halfway through his 15-year-old season.
I know.
It's like, okay.
Well, no, like there's something going on there. Also, men's world championships, Gallant. He's going to be the head coach there. Mike Kelly, Andre Tournier, assistants. Any surprises?
No, this seems like it's Gallant's, like, what's it, like his audition to go back to the NHL.
Tennessee State University looking at a D1 hockey program. That's weird, wacky, wild. But I guess if the Preds are behind it, they want to build hockey in the South. Interesting. I don't know. Did you have any thoughts on that? When I saw it, I was like, what the heck?
Oh, I mean, money trumps all in college sports, right? So if the Preds are going to pay for a D1 team, go ahead. It's quite possible they get waxed 15-1. But you've seen what's happened in Arizona and them kind of regrowing that program.
Yes,
I know Texas and Florida are starting to be a little better. So I think for Tennessee to get that and the momentum the Preds had mainly from their their Stanley Cup appearance, it could be some. It's weird they wouldn't do this at Vanderbilt though. Like,
well, that's what I was thinking. Like Vanderbilt, you know, University of
Vanderbilt's
Tennessee.
Like ultimate baseball school though.
That's true. Alrighty, let's move on. A couple of segments we got to get to here. Okay, Adam, who are we going to bench today for our friends at Quack Stats, most advanced player tracking technology? Follow them today on Instagram at @Quack_stats. Who are you sitting?
Probably just like the Devils organization. Like they literally have won two games since the end of March and they lost 10 straight. They're like, I don't know. They're just like this analytics organization with that Tyler Dello guy or whatever. And I don't know. They're going to win. They could win the draft lottery for the third time in 5 years. So they're just, I don't know what's in the water there, but they just can't get it right.
I called them pathetic, you know, a couple of months ago, and their fan base tried to kill me through Twitter. So, I mean, you still got a pathetic team there, New Jersey. I'm going to bench the Calgary Flames, though. And, I mean, shout out to our guy, Slim Volge, I mean, friend of the show here, said 7 years with Trey Living at the helm, no success for the Flames. Something's got to change. I appreciate him going out there and kind of just saying it as it is. All right, bet of the night, mybookie.ag. Use promo code 120zsports, all caps, no spaces. Mybookie.ag, they're going to match 50% of your first deposit. My bet's a simple one. McDavid and Draisaitl both to score tonight, +320.
Yeah, that's it. My bet's not going to be hockey. It's going to be Trey Lance going third overall. I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's bold.
No, I think he's got the best odds out of anybody in that area, that's but bold. Also... Shout out to our sponsors, Player Golf. Also use promo code WorldHockeyRPT for 20% off your purchase. Great guys over there. Great hockey, athletic, golf wear, whatever you need. They got it. So shout out to them. Use our code.
What a show. Shout out Kelly, Rudy, Alexis, Downey for hopping on here. Tons of NHL news for Pro Rock at the start. Don't forget, teamed up with folks at the Hockey Podcast Network. Download, rate, subscribe wherever you get your podcast from, the Hockey Podcast Network. That's going to do it. Another show. Let's get any last thoughts, Adam.
No,
get them out.
It's
now.
Like it's just crazy, man. Like in two shows, it'll be playoff time. So
get us to playoffs. Sorry, I'm sick of the regular season.
Yeah, like to watch. Like I have no idea what's gonna happen with the Calgary Vancouver. They're playing three games at the end of the year, and they're gonna go two in Vancouver, and then they'll have to fly to Calgary to play in Calgary. Like, can't imagine the effort levels there. But hopefully, the North Division starts before like those teams finish, because like what's the point of not doing those playoffs? So yeah,
just cancel them. If they're not playoff teams, cancel them. That's
also shout out Vlad Jr., 3 home runs, he's coming on.
And we are way over the time here. Shout out 12 ounce sports for helping us put this on. Jeff Buck, the team there, James Sullivan, our producer of World Hockey Report, for Adam Urbantrout, myself, Cody Jans. Until next week, everyone, be kind, be better.
World Hockey Report is presented by Lordco Auto Parts, Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, Coco Vodka and Coco Rum, and Quack Stats.